Welcome to the Real Estate Espresso Podcast, your morning shot of what's new in the world of real estate investing. I'm your host, Victor Menashe. On today's show, we're taking a look at the landscape for the retail market. Commercial brokerage JLL just published their retail real estate report for the fourth quarter of 2023. The report contains a number of interesting insights. Now, today's show complements the interview we had with Michael Flight last weekend on shopping centers. Michael's been investing in shopping centers for decades, and he's a real expert in the space. The JLL report highlights that the majority of the growth is, in fact, in the southern states. Now, currently, there's 12 million square feet of vacant retail space nationwide. There is a fair bit of new product being delivered in 2024, totaling over 63 million square feet, although much of that is pre-leased and consists mostly of freestanding, built-to-suit retail. Available shopping center space slated for 2024 delivery only totals 5.7 million square feet on a nationwide basis, with more than a third of that comprised of neighborhood centers. So these are the smaller centers. Topping the cities with the most growth in terms of rental rates are Atlanta, up 7.3%, Minneapolis, up 6.1%, and Orlando, up 8.1%. The cities with the greatest drop in rental rates are Phoenix at 9.2%, Tampa at 7.8%, and Las Vegas at 7.1%. The U.S. retail commercial real estate market in 2023 was defined by abundant appetite for both equity and debt, with actually a fairly small number of transaction activity to show for it. The preliminary estimates show roughly $57 billion worth of real estate traded for the year. That's down roughly 37% year over year. While it represented a significant slowdown, the retail sector performed the best among the primary property types within the commercial real estate space. In the multi-tenant retail space, grocery-anchored comprised the largest market share of the transactions at just over $7 billion, or roughly 21% of the total volume. Retail remains a private capital-dominated business, with more than 85% of acquisitions by volume going to non-institutional investors. Now, with construction activity at record lows, power centers continue to see solid fundamentals. They've got low vacancies, they've got rising rents, and they have pretty steady net absorption. In power centers, availability is only at 5.2%. It's the lowest in 16 years. There simply isn't a lot of space for big box retailers looking to expand. Sunbelt cities like Atlanta, Houston, and Dallas took the most power center space in 2023. In the South, vacancy in power centers was 4.2%. There's 1.8 million square feet under construction. And in the fourth quarter of 2023, the net absorption was 0.6 million square feet. The average triple net rent was $26.38 a square foot, and there's only 200,000 square feet being delivered in the fourth quarter. Given the low construction activity since the Great Recession, when big box stores suffered significant losses in bankruptcy, available space has been minimal. When big box space does become available, it generally gets filled pretty quickly by another tenant. Prime example of that was the very swift backfilling of space vacated by the recently bankrupt Bed Bath & Beyond. Between 2017 and 2023, a lot of top retailers who backfilled vacant big box space included discounters, fitness centers, and craft and hobby tenants. Hobby Lobby backfilled the most square footage, while Burlington took the largest number of vacant spaces. In fact, Hobby Lobby took about 2.3 million square feet in a total of 43 locations. Target was second with 31 locations, also taking about 2.2 million square feet. Burlington opened 54 locations at just under 2 million square feet. And then some of the smaller contributors were a company called At Home, Crunch Fitness, Dick's Sporting Goods with 12 locations, Big Lots at 18 locations, and Planet Fitness with 26. Shopping center demand continues to be driven by two main tenant categories, these discount-oriented retailers and fitness centers. Dollar stores continue to push expansion, particularly in community centers and in neighborhood centers. Now, fitness center expansion is being propelled by the traditional gym formats like Planet Fitness and Crunch, but smaller boutique fitness concepts like boot camps and bar training are also opening up. Food retailers like Whole Foods and Wild Fork also minted new locations in the quarter. Now, frankly, the growth in fitness sector doesn't make a lot of sense to me. That appears to be unsustainable. And I say that for the simple reason that demand for fitness memberships has fallen since the pandemic, and you can now get gym memberships in a lot of places for $15 a month. That's a substantial discount to what it was prior to the pandemic. Now, I can't profess to be an expert on the business model for a gym. Whenever I see deep discounts and membership incentives of the type we're seeing, that's an indication of oversupply, at least in my mind. Now, gyms have a tendency to absorb a lot of space, but at a relatively low rent per square foot compared with retailers that have vacated the space. So to me, this suggests falling rents and probably rent concessions as well. So this report tends to echo what Michael Flight said in our interview from last weekend, where there seems to be a lot of demand for power centers and from some of the newer open-air retail. The weakest performance was in the traditional enclosed shopping malls. Part of the reason we saw falling vacancy was because some of those older malls were in fact shut down and demolished. So that capacity disappeared from the market. The net message from this is that retail is not dead. It's changing, and the focus is on the right quality product in the right locations. As you think about that, have an awesome rest of your day. Go make some great things happen, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.